You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Roots are becoming important again to people, just as they have been to generations past. Hollow roots produce superficial growth. Roots are the basis of a strong and stalwart performance, even in the midst of the storm. Roots make plants what they are, and roots make people what they are. Genealogy may be important to plants and people, but the most important thing is to have a firm root right now. The writer of the book of Proverbs was talking about roots as a vital fact of life. He said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." His advice is no guarantee that every child, even with the best of training, will turn out to be a captain of industry or even president of the country. It's possible for people to turn out wrong even when their training has been right. Proverbs lays down a general truth that has demonstrated its worth in everyday human experience. Children that have been raised without training generally turn out to be not flowering plants, but more like weeds. When children are raised as weeds, no one should be surprised that they grow up as weeds. The family is God's institution to accomplish a lot of good. Most of all, to sink roots deep into the soil of life and to teach the coming generation to sink its roots, if possible, even deeper. Have you ever watched a tree? When the wind is blowing hard, it sways and twists and bends. The dead or weak limbs drop off. When the storm ends, the tree still stands straight and tall, roots deep into the ground, give it stability. A strong root system makes strong people, firmly rooted in a loving family. The rising generation has at least a good chance to grow up with stability that withstands the storms of life. Learning to bear tragedy and trial with loving discipline all around helps young people to appreciate the support, encouragement, strength, and will that enable them to cope with what life has to bring and to stand fast when the winds blow furiously. As the family goes, so goes the nation, someone has said. People all over the world have found this to be true. It hardly needs to be proved. Although one scientific study after another has shown how important the family really is to growth in character that sustains people. The home is the training ground of the nation. Without training and cultivation, plants do not produce as they should. Without training and discipline, people do not develop as they should. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn away from it. That's God's plan. Teach a child how to live, and he will remember it all his life. You might call this the law of primacy. The first things you learn are the most important. The early years of a child's life are the most crucial. What happens early in life stays with people a long time. A damaging experience early in life, where a child discovers that his trust has been misplaced, is much more traumatic and harmful than when it happens later on. A great American educator, Francis Parker, once was asked by a woman, "When should I begin to educate my child?" Parker asked how old the child was. When the woman replied that the boy was 5 years old, Parker replied, "You're already 5 years late." Parents have a big responsibility, which is not to be taken lightly. Years of neglect can never be fully made up. That's especially true of the early years of childhood. There are altogether too many parents who lay off their responsibilities on the schools. I've heard parents complain that their children at the end of the eighth grade could not read. Where were they all this time? Why is it that they could not see early on that their children were not learning to read? As necessary as the ability to read may be, there are things in life more important, more necessary, more conducive to genuine life. Children need to be brought to God at an early age, as early as possible. Indeed, the smallest infant should learn from his parents that God loves, God touches, God handles, and God can be trusted. Immediately after birth, children begin to learn from their parents. Why not from God? I've heard it said that small children cannot believe in God. Who said so? Certainly not God. Children learn in their own way, but they do learn. Sometimes I think they learn to trust God and believe in Him more deeply than the adults who have argued about God all their lives. God does not hold still for human argument. He's there all the time with His loving care. Newborn children are a miracle of God. They should be treated with love and respect, just as God treats them. He sent His Son Jesus to show genuine consideration for little children, dying for them as He died for us all. It would be better for a millstone to be hanged around the neck of anyone who offends these little ones, said Jesus, than that any adult should in any way put a stumbling block in their path. You can see what Jesus thought about child abuse. The greatest stumbling block in the development of anyone is unbelief. Failure or refusal to believe God. It's like cutting off your leg before you've learned to walk. It's a tragedy, no matter how you look at it. That tragedy envelops the whole world and calls forth the urgent and proverbial admonition, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children develop lifestyles reflecting the values they've learned from their parents, their beliefs, their attitudes toward money, sex, success, and service. In the home, children learn life's most important lesson, how to face problems, how to respond to troubles, how to accept responsibility, how to forgive and ask forgiveness. They learn not only courtesy and good manners, but how to love and respect other people. They learn these things, not only from the words of their parents, but from the memories of what their parents did in everyday life. What an opportunity parents have. What a responsibility. Roots are the responsibility of parents. First of all, how can children develop roots when their parents have no roots? Of all the roots, including inheritance from the past, the most important is faith in God that shows respect for Him and readiness to listen to Him. That calls for a willingness to transmit His word to the young in a way they can understand. All too often, people think of the word of God as simply a set of laws and judgments that are to be observed. There are laws that come from God. They're meant for the well-being of humanity. Apart from them, life becomes a jungle. It's wrong to steal. It's right to show respect for others. It's wrong to tell a lie about somebody else, and it's right to tell the truth. It's wrong to abuse other people, and it's right to show friendship and hospitality. These are laws that come from God. Refusal to recognize them accounts for a lot of unhappiness that causes life itself to be poverty-stricken. The very nature of God, however, is actually concealed from children when they do not learn to know Him, both in the words and in the actions of their parents, as the loving God, insisting upon discipline, but winsomely forgiving out of the great love that He has actually shown to the world. That love is in His Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to know God, just look at Jesus Christ. He's the image of the invisible God. He reaches out to those who need help. And He heals the hurts of people, including the hurts of little children. He cares, He does. He's God. You see Him in Jesus Christ. Jesus died, as the Scriptures always said He would. He took the sin of the world into His own heart, including the wages of sin, which is death. He did it all for people, including those little children who look up wide-eyed at His cross. Often I've asked little children, trained up in the way a child should go, what did Jesus do for you? The answer invariably is, Jesus died for me. They feel close to Him because He died for them. His sacrifice becomes an impelling force in their young lives. They understand Him. They trust Him. They love Him. Parents, love your children. Don't pamper them. Love them. Letting them get away with anything is no favor to them. It's up to you to show them the way in love. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Somebody told me about a neighbor who always talked to his three sons in a harsh way. He yelled, screamed, and cursed whenever he gave them directions or corrected them. Actually, this man loved his boys, but he had a strange way of showing it. His method of training children lacked wisdom. Now that those boys have grown up, all three have troubled lives. Their marriages have been disasters. They've had problems at work. One man's influence has cast a shadow over their whole lives. Who knows how long that influence will last from generation to generation? I have met very few perfect parents over the years. In fact, there have been none. Parents need the healing power of God's forgiveness as much as their children do. Wise children, as they grow up, will learn to recognize this fact, even as they honor their parents. The greatest lesson parents have to learn about God is that he forgives. The good news of God's Son, Jesus Christ, is that he came from God and by his cross draws the whole world to himself. I, if I be lifted up, he said, will draw people everywhere to myself. Peter remarked, he suffered once, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Firmness in faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ is a good start in the way parents can go to train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from that. He may leave it behind for a time, veering off somewhere, maybe, during his college years or at some other time. But the Spirit of Christ continues to work in the hearts of people even when they seem to be lost. It may be that he's working in your heart right now, whoever you are. Come to me, Jesus says. All you that are heavily weighed down, I will give you rest. The statement of Proverbs is directed to all of us, whether we have children or not. Practically everyone has grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and neighbors. What can you do to train up a child whose life touches yours? Try to live life with faith and love that reflects the life of Christ and expresses the life in Christ. Children learn by example. This is the way to go. It's not just a series of do's and don'ts. It is life in Christ directed toward God. He's in control. In his family, God is looked upon as great and good. People worship him and pray to him. They're confident he watches over them. They rejoice, and their gladness is infectious. Set high standards for yourself. Children notice that. They appreciate a framework in which to grow up. It helps them to make wise choices, even though they may sometimes challenge you to test your wisdom. Demonstrate in your own life wise priorities. What is number one in your life? Financial security, your job or profession, or those you love? Someone said, my father gave me $10, but he never gave me 10 minutes. A 13-year-old reaches home feeling lonely. No one is there. A $1,000 television set is there, but will the television set ever hug him? How many youngsters are greeted warmly upon arrival at home by no one but the dog? Encourage young people around you by talking about your faith and acting that faith out in your life. I've heard people say, when our child grows up, he can then decide for himself what to believe. That makes no sense in any other area of life. Why should it make sense when it comes to faith? No one would say, wait until the child grows up to decide whether he wants to go to school or eat proper food or wear decent clothes. Jesus said that whoever believes in him will live forever. Jesus said he's the only way. He became a child and he grew up in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He was obedient to his parents. Scripture explicitly says so. He died for the whole world under the discipline of his Father. He rose from the dead by the glory of his Father, in the pleasure of his Father. Jesus has been given lordship over heaven and earth. That's good news. Children need to know it too. Know the Lord, and let your children know that you know him. Finally, Show love to your children. Time spent with them is not interruption of the important things in life. Look at what your boy or girl wants to show you. Listen to what they want to tell you. Pat your children on the back, also the teenagers. Something in children cries for attention. Sometimes they get so out of touch with adults around them that it hurts. You can't bring children up by always putting them down. Cheer them on. By all means, let children grow. Teach them the way of Christ, and then let them live it. Help them to set goals, and then let them use the talents God has given them to get there. Teach your children to make decisions. Let him decide for himself. Inspire him to strive and to struggle. Let him go at his own pace. Free your boy to become his own person. Let him go, and then let him fly. Even birds have to develop their wings before they can fly. Children have to learn to fly on their own wings. A young boy has to be restrained in his boisterousness and encouraged when he is faltering. Cheer him on. Encourage him to become all he can be. Teach a child how he should live, and he will remember it all of his life. It's a great responsibility to help children sink their roots deep into life, developing their wings to fly. Roots and wings go well together. It is also a marvelous privilege given to fallible people like ourselves by God Himself to produce a miracle. You can enjoy seeing that miracle grow before your eyes and experience the miracle of what happens. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What greater miracle is there than to see a tree grow tall from a small seed, its roots digging deep into the earth? What greater miracle is there than to see fledgling birds, helpless only a week or two ago, trying their wings and gaining confidence as they fly? What miracle could be greater than that? Unless it be boys and girls growing up disciplined and free to be real men and women, rooted down and built up in the faith, flying forth on strong wings with sturdy confidence in God, eager to be and to do for the Lord, whom they have learned to love. What greater miracle than that can you ever expect to see? Amen.